Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Vav. Thank you very much for coming. We were on Kuf Lamed He Amid Beis, page 135b. We're discussing the topic of a Shchiv Mara, a dying man. A dying man the rabbis legislated so as not to upset him if he orders his assets to a certain person. Just by the order, it's as if it was already written and sealed. So then the Gemara has a discussion. What about the language of a dying man who says, Kisvu utnu? He didn't say, give the assets to so-and-so, or the assets go to so-and-so. He actually said, write and give. So maybe then he's trying to say that they have to make a contract, and the contract is going to effect the handover. And if that's the case, that can't happen after his death. You can't have a contract after death. So the Gemara said that Rav Shizvi, you know, quoted Rav Elazar, who said that that if you said kisvu tnu, then it wasn't it's not a gift of the shchiv mara. He just meant that it's supposed to take effect after his death, a contract after his death, and that's a time when he can't do so. The Gemara has a whole bunch of opinions that, you know, we have to be careful for this, la halacha. And then finally the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, another version of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, you have to check it out. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you check it out? You check it out the same way Rav Dimi said you could have one document of a shchiv, one document recording what a shchiv mara says, which can annul another document. And another law that Rav Dimi said is that if a dying man says both kisvu utnu, he says write and give, you know, a 100 coins to so and so, and he dies before it was written. So we have to check it out. What does it mean we check it out? We have to see if when he said write, he just intended to buttress, to strengthen the gift. So if he meant to strengthen the gift, so then the gift happened really when he was dying, and so we just write it down, that's fine. But if he really meant not just to strengthen, but that the writing itself is going to create the gift, so because that's why he put in the word writing, so then you can't write something after he is dead. That's what we had gotten up to. You check out to see, we're going to see in a second, what his language was. If he was saying, I'm just saying to write to support the gift, or saying that the writing itself is what makes the gift. So, again, Masa Rababa Bar Mamal. Rababa Bar Mamal, we're three lines from the bottom. Rababa Bar Mamal asked from a Braisa. We learned in the Braisa, Barisha Amar Kisvutnu Maniloploni. Let's say a healthy person says, write and give 100 to a friend of mine. Umeis, and he dies before it was written. Ein kosum enosnin. So you can't write anything because you can't write a shtar. You can't create a document after death. Hashchiv mara. It sounds like this is true about a healthy man. But if a dying man says, write and give, then kosum enosnin. Then you write and you give even after the man died. So who most of us? He asks the question. Fumafarakla. And he gives the answer that we just gave. We check out the intent of the dying man. And if the dying man was intending and saying to write, to just strengthen the gift, but really what gave over the gift was his commands, so then we write. So now we have Roger's question. Hey, how do you check such a thing out? Answers the Gemara, Kedamar Rav Chisda. If the answer is like what Rav Chisda said, if what he is dictating in the document is v'kanina minei mosif al matan asada, and we acquired from him as an addition to this gift, in other words, basically there was the gift, but we want to strengthen this gift. So then, if he's saying that I wanted them to strengthen the gift, so then the gift works with his words. Hachanami, so that's what's happening here. Da'amar, he said, give, tnu. And he says further, afk sovu v'chasomu. And also, write it down. And also, sign it. V'havule, and give him the document, so he'll have a proof that I gave it to him. But he's saying clearly that the giving is happening through his instructions. Itmar, we learned. What's the halacha? Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda says the name of Shmuel. Halacha, the halacha is that if a dying man says, give 100 coins to Reuven, va'af kisvu, and also write it, then kosvu and osnit, then we would write it and deliver the shtar even after the man's death. Rav Nachman, that halacha is that sometimes kosvin v'nosnin, that a dying man who's clearly giving over the gift through his orders, but in addition to his orders, he's instructing that there be a proof, so we can write that proof. That's not a problem. Posthumously, right after his death. All right, next, Mishnah. So the Mishnah deals with the following case. Reuven is about to marry for the second time. Reuven was married, and let's say he had 3 sons from his first wife, and she passed away. Now he's about to marry for the second time. See, his kids are worried. They say, Dad, you're going to get married. When you get married, you're going to owe her a ksuba. We may end up with no inheritance. Because if you die, your assets have a lien on them to provide her with the ksuba payment. So Reuven says, don't worry, kids, I'll give it all to you before I marry her. So before I marry wife number 2, I'm going to gift all my assets to my sons, Reuven says. But now there's a problem. If he gives away his assets to his sons, what's he going to have? So he wants to have it both ways. He wants to give them the kinyan aguf, the ownership of the principal, and maintain for himself kinyan peros, the right to collect whatever these assets produce. So how does he go about doing that? That way, he'll have given away the assets to them. Once he dies, the assets become fully theirs, and the wife won't have anything to collect from these assets that he already gave away, because he already gave them away to his children. That's what he's trying to do. So the Mishnah says, "Akosim nechazal lebanav." A guy who's trying to give away all of his assets to his sons, and he doesn't want to leave assets in his own hands because he doesn't want his wife number 2, to be able to collect them. So he doesn't want them to be his at the time that he marries wife number 2. But on the other hand, he wants to still be able to get the fruits that come out of these assets. He wants to live and support his wife when he's married to her. So what does he do? He actually has to spell that all out in the gift document. He has to write the following. Me'ayom. This gift starts from today. Uliachar Misa, but it becomes complete after I die. So what does that mean? It means that the principal becomes the possession of the children right away. But the rights to fruit, he maintains. And the rights to fruit become theirs once he dies. And that way, the principal belongs to them from now. The Rebuta to Rebuta says. Rebuta says, you don't have to spell out in the document that the principal is theirs from now. The very fact that the document has a date, because we're going to see Rabbi Yossi holds a Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav, the date of the document is indicative. The fact that it has a date means that it's happening from this date. What's happening if he's still eating the fruit? What happened from the date that was on the Shtar? What's happening? It's dated, June 7th. But what happened on June 7th? He's still eating the fruits on June 10th and June 11th and June 12th. Oh, what happened is that from June 7th, the principal belongs to them. So he doesn't have to say explicitly, from today it starts and it'll be completed after I die. The fact that he put a date into the document shows that that's when it's starting and that principal is becoming theirs from this date. Rabbi Yossi Omrei Notzarek, you don't have to write in the document explicitly, Mehayom, that it happens from now.
What's the problem altogether? He's got to give her ksuba anyway, right?
He doesn't want to have his assets have a lien.
Specific document says you're going to get 100 zuz or 200 zuz.
Right, but there's less assets.
So
there are less assets guaranteeing it because these assets now are not his.
So what if he even be nothing?
She might end up with nothing. Yeah, that's true.
He will give it to her.
This is a way to make his children drop their opposition to his second marriage. She should run. Okay, Akosim Lechazel Livnoli Achar Moso. In this scenario where a person says, my possessions, my assets belong to my sons from now, but only fully after I die, so that the sons own the principal now, but they get it fully only after he dies. Oh, thank you. Ha'av Eino Yachol Limkor. So now the father can't sell these assets, because he doesn't own the principal. The principal already belongs to the son. The principal could, the son couldn't sell it during the lifetime of the father, because the father has the rights to eat the fruit, so he, it's in his domain. So if the father tried to sell, what he sold was mechurin. What he could sell is the rights to eat the fruits. The right to eat the fruits can be sold until he dies. If the son sells what he has, the buyer doesn't have any right until the father dies, and then the same way that once the father died, the son would have rights to the fruits. Once the father dies, the buyer can eat the fruits. So now the Gemara discusses this point of Mehayom L'Achar Misa. V'chikasav, if this father wrote, these gifts belong to my son, Mehayom, from today, that's the principle, Achar Misa, and after death it becomes fully my son's. My Havi, what do you mean? That then the principle belongs to the son, and the fruits, or the right to fruit, still belongs to father. But in Maseches Kittin, we learned that that language is not a language of dividing up the asset, but rather we just don't know how to define that language, whether that language means something is starting from today on provision, on condition that there be a death, or that when he says from today until after my death, once he dies, when he said from today, he meant it's starting now. Then when he said after my death, he's saying it's going to happen after my death. So he was rejecting what he said that it's going to happen now. That's what we find in a get. What's not? We looked in a gitin, a man who gives his wife a get, and he says, I'm divorcing you, mehayom, from today, it'll take full effect after death. So we don't know how to treat it. It's a get, v'eino get. It's a suffic get. Maybe it's a get, maybe not. And therefore, it may, if he dies without children, maybe there was a get, so she's permitted to marry without anything. Maybe there was no get, and she needs chalitza. So we can't give her yivam, because maybe she was divorced. So chalitza is v'lo mesiyah bemes. In other words, what does the Mishnah there say? The Mishnah says in Masechet Gittin that this language, mehayom u'l'achar mita, equals a safek. We just don't know what it means. Does it mean mehayom from today on condition that there be mita? Or does it mean mehayom? Oh, I'm changing my mind. La'achar mita. So basically, toku de divo, within a few seconds, he rejected doing it mehayom. So how could we say here in Masechet Baba Batra that in regards to an acquisition? Very nice. Nice answers. But how could we say in regards to Masechet Baba Batra, in regards to an acquisition, mehayom la'achar mita means that the guf, the principle, is acquired already now, and the peirot, the right to the fruits, will be la'achar mita. We see in Masechet Gittin, in regards to a bill of divorce, we don't divide up the bill of divorce. Rather, we say that we just don't know how to treat this language. The Gemara gives the answer. Well, there's a big difference between a bill of divorce and giving over a field. In a field, you can divide the basic goof, the principle of the field, from the assets that come from the field. But in regards to a divorce, she can't be half divorced. Her body's divorced, but the rights to her body are not divorced. You can't divide divorce. Marriage is all or nothing. So hasam over there, where it's all or nothing, masafkalam, we don't know what the language of mehayom u'l'achar misa means. Itnai havai, if it's a condition. So then it's taking effect from today, so long as the husband will die. So then the get should have been a real get. Once he dies, it means retroactively it was a get. Or maybe chazar havoy, or maybe he's trying to retract it. Once he says la'achar misa, he's saying it's not a get from now. It'll be a get after I die. But after he's dead, he can't create a get. So then there is no get. So we're not sure how to treat it. Aval hacha. But in regards to acquisitions, when we can split things up, sachi kamer. So we split it up, and that's what he meant. He meant gufa, the principle, kani me'ayom, belongs to my son from now. Peira, the rights to the fruits, or la'achar misa, belong to my son after my death.
So, Rabbi, you can't give a get for next week you're divorced.
No, that you could do.
Good. You can.
Yeah, that he could do. He couldn't give. Because he's alive then, right. What he can't do is if he uses the language of death, he says, from today after my death, then we don't know what that means. Does it mean that really it's trying, he's saying, I thought to do it from today. No, I'm changing my mind. I want it to happen after my death. After his death, he can't do it. Or does he mean it's happening from today on condition that I'll die?
So if he gives the get a condition 1 month out, does it change the status of the relationship between now and that month?
Yeah, right. In a month's time, it may turn out that retroactively from now she was divorced.
Why would that be? If he says, I'm giving it to you.
I'm giving it to you the get now, so long, as it rains next month.
Uh-huh.
So okay, if it rains next month, now retroactively, they were divorced.
But if there's no...
If he dies within 2 weeks... Maybe not, right? Depending on how he phrases it, you know.
So it creates a problem.
It's a problem.
But you can't.
Yeah, what's the question?
On this condition, he will give it to her hand already?
Which condition?
And he did a condition giving you gift.
Right.
Harmita. Would he give her the class of Gerushim or not?
Yeah. Yeah, he gives her the clap of Gerushim.
So he cannot go back anymore.
Maybe he did. Maybe he retracted it right away when he says La Chamisa. He's changing his mind.
Between this and the Mita, he can change.
No, he can't change after that, but maybe he changed right away. Rabbi Yossi says, Eino Tzarech. Right? He doesn't, if he wants to give his assets away to his sons, he doesn't have to write in the document that this is Mehayom Ulachar Misa, meaning that from today, the principal, but the full amount is only afterwards, the fruit too. Just the fact that he puts in the document the date is already showing that. A story. Rabbi Bar Avua Chalash. Rabbi the son of Avua got sick. Ravuna and Rav Nachman came to visit him. Amalei Ravuna Rav Nachman. Ravuna said to Rav Nachman, "Boy, minei, let's ask him. Halacha k'Rav Rabbi Yossi or ain't halacha k'Rav Rabbi Yossi? Is halacha like Rabbi Yossi or not?" Amalei. So Rav Nachman said, "Time to Rav Yossi lo yadana halacha. Boy, minei. I don't even understand the idea of Rav Yossi. I'm going to ask if halacha's like it." Amalei. So Ravuna said back to Rav Nachman, "At boy minei halacha lo. You ask him whether halacha is like Rabbi Yossi or not. The time I know, I mean halacha. I'll already explain the reason." So he asked Amalei. So he said, "Achi Amarav, I heard from Rav halacha k'Rav Yossi. Halacha is like Rav Yossi." So Basar denafku. So after they walked out, Amalei. So now Rav Huna fulfilled his side of the deal. He explained, "I knew time of Rav Yossi. This is the reasoning of Rav Yossi. To Amar, he believes Zmano shel shtar mochiach alav. If there's a date in a document, it means something. Why did a person put in a date? It's a gift document. So why does he put in a date?" He says, the date today is June 6th, June 7th. And on this day, I gave to my sons my assets, but they could only use them after I die. So why did he write the date? If he writes the date, it must mean that he's saying that the beginning happens now. That means that the principal happened now, and the rights of the fruits are after his death. Otherwise, why would he write the date? He should say, after I die, it'll be theirs, without putting in a date. If you put in a date, that means something's happening from now. Now, a proof to Rav Huna's logic. Rav Yossi says, you don't have to write the words that this gift starts mehayom, because the date in the document itself proves that something is starting from now. Okay. We know that a shtar is one of the ways to transmit ownership over land. The moment the giver gives the shtar to the recipient now owns the land. That's the basic halacha. However, there was a custom that they would also do a chalipin. They would do the act of lifting the handkerchief to transmit the ownership of the land. And the witnesses would write in the shtar, "The giver told us, be my witnesses, and acquire from me through a handkerchief for the sake of the recipient, and now write and sign this shtar." And then at the end of the shtar, the witnesses would write again, "We acquired from so-and-so to so-and-so," like what we've explained earlier. So, Bo Minei, Rav Amir Rav Nachman. Rav asked a question of Rav Nachman. Bakna, let's say a shtar has in it the this language, that the witnesses did the kinyan sudr from the giver in order to acquire the field for the recipient. And it says in it just the field's going to belong to the recipient after my death. It doesn't say me hayom. So mahu, what's the halacha? Would Rav Yehuda disagree here and say if you didn't say me hayom, there was no acquisition of the guf, or not? No, he just said aknat, right? It just says we made an acquisition. It didn't say from today. So Rav Papi Amar, Rav Papi says it really depends. There are some shtaros that have that are shtar kinyan that do need the word mehayom. The following: if at the beginning of the shtar it says aknaye, that the giver had made an acquisition with the witnesses for the recipient, and at the end of the shtar, the witnesses repeated, "Vikanina mine," and we acquired from him, lo tzarach. Then you don't have to say the words, mehayom, from today in the shtar. Because if it says twice, we made an acquisition, so that's like saying we made a strong acquisition, starting from today. But if it said, kanina mine, it says, in the beginning of the shtar, we acquired from him. And in the last line of the shtar, it says, and he had told us, aknaye, acquire for him. Then, tzarech, then you do need the word, mehayom, because then we say, good morning. Then we say that the meaning of what the witnesses wrote is that they did an acquisition, but not necessarily that this acquisition was very strong, that it should start from today. Maskev le Rav Chanina Misura, Rav Chanina from Sura challenged Rav Papi, Mi kamidi danan lo yadina v'safri yadi. Is it possible that there is a halacha that we don't know, the sages never heard of this thing, the difference between the languages, and the scribes know it? So Shalunu Lucifer de Abaye, they asked, in fact, the scribes of Abaye's court whether they knew that there's a difference between what language they write first and what second. V'yadi, they did know it. Lucifer de Rav, again, they asked the sages of Rav, and also V'yadi, and they knew it. Rav Huna, Brady of Yeshua, Amar Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, though, said, Bein Aknaye, and then V'kanina Mine, whether he wrote in the beginning, We acquired from him, and then again he told us acquire from me, and then later at the end they wrote and we acquired from him. Obein kadina mine, and then aknaya. Or if it was out of order, they said first we acquired from him, and it was according to his instructions that he told us acquire from me. Lo tzarich, you don't have to write the word mehayom, because since the document says that the witnesses did a kinyan from the giver, that means that it is mehayom. Ubedurchan pisgame dehavi banpana pligi. The argument between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda is where you don't have this. They don't say that they did a kinyan suda. The witnesses didn't say that we acquired for the recipient with a handkerchief. They just said this is a record of the words that were in front of us. Rav Kana said, I told this lesson in front of Rav Zvid from the Harda. Finally, he told me, this is your version, but I have the following version. If in the document there is specification that there was an acquisition, then you don't need to write me hayom. And bein aknaya v'kanina minei, whether it was in the normal order that they write in the document, primary subject told us, acquire from me. And in fact, we did acquire from him. Or even if they wrote in the unusual order, kanina minei, we acquired from him, and it was according to his instructions, v'aknaya, he had told us, acquire from me, lo tzarech. In either case, you don't have to write mehayom. But when do you have to say mehayom in order for the acquisition of the principal to happen now? If in the document it only says, Baduchun Piskame, Tahavuban Panas, we remember these words that were in front of us, then Pligi, then you have the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to write Mehayom. Rabbi Yossi says that the date itself works to indicate that. Okay, the Mishnah says that when a person gifts all of his assets to his sons, his principal to the sons from now, but the fruits will only become the rights of the sons after his death. For now, he still has the rights of the fruits, so he can't sell it because he doesn't own the principal. The sons can't sell it because they don't have control over it. If he would sell his share, so that he could do, he could sell what I have, I'm selling. He can't say, I'm selling the field, I'm selling what I have. What he has, he could sell, so the buyer could eat the fruits as long as he's alive, and the son could sell what he has. So I'm selling what I have, so then the buyer from the son would get full rights after death. Hakozim nechazel v'nolach hamisa. That's what the Mishnah says, a person who gifts his assets to his son from now, but fully after his death, neither really can sell it fully alone now. Together they could sell it. Sitma, we learned. Let's say the son sells the assets during the lifetime of the father. And the son dies during the father's lifetime. Rabbi Yochanan said, then the buyer has nothing. It goes to the heirs of the father once the father dies. When the Mishnah said that if the son sold it after the father's death, it would go to the buyer, that's only if the son was alive when father died. However, Rish Lakish says, even if the son died in the lifetime of father, the buyer did acquire it, and after father dies, the heirs of father don't get it, rather the buyer gets it. Now the Gemara explains why. Rabbi Yochanan says that the buyer didn't get it. Why? Because kinyan haperos, kinyan haguftami. The father has the rights to the fruits. So that means he's the main owner. And the main object, main purpose of an object is the usage of the object. He has the rights to the usage. So since the father has the rights of the fruits, that really means that the father has a share in the principal too. So therefore, when the son sells, it didn't take effect. It's only going to take effect after death of father. But since the son died first, so there's nothing for it to take effect, and therefore the father's children will inherit. However, Rish Lakish Amar Kana Lokeach, Rish Lakish says that the buyer does acquire, and after father dies, the buyer gets it, even though son died within father's lifetime, because all father had was kinyan peiros, was a right to the fruits, a right of usage. Lavka kinyan haguftami, that doesn't mean that he has a right in the principle. The son is the full owner of the principle. So since the son was the full owner of the principle, the son could sell it, and the sale took effect. So Gemara says, why do you need Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish to argue about it here in regards to Baba Basra, in regards to the sales of a son? We have this argument in regards to another halacha, the halacha of bringing Bikurim. If a person owns land in Israel, and the land produces first fruits of the seven fruits of the land of Israel, then he has a mitzvah to take those first fruits to Jerusalem and gift them to the Kohen in the Beit HaMikdash and make a declaration thanking God for Ha'adama Shenasata Li, the land that you gave me, Hashem. So what happens if a person only has rights to usage from the land? Can he say, God, land you gave me, or not? That's this question. Is Kenyan Peros right to usage? Kenyan Aguf, a right, an ownership in the principle? Then you could say Adama Shanasatali. Or Kenyan Peros is not Kenyan Aguf. It's just a right of usage, but it doesn't mean that there's any ownership in the principle.
What is he actually bringing? He can't take the fruit and he's stealing.
No, he owns the fruits.
No, the one who owns the land.
No, the one who owns the Kenyan Peros. Our question is, if he has the Kenyan Peros, can he say, I have land? Somebody who sells the rights of fruit collection from his field to someone. Rabbi Yochanan says that buyer, maybe the kore, can bring bikurim from the fruits, and he can make the declaration. Rish Lakish says maybe he can bring the fruits, but veino kore, he can't make the declaration. Rabbi Yochanan says he can make the declaration even though he only has a right to the fruits, because kenyan peiros, because kenyan aguftami. If he has a right to the fruits, that means he has a right in the principle. So he can say, it's land given to me. However, Rish Lakish maybe ain't okay. Rish Lakish says he can bring, but he can't make the declaration because kinyan peiros lavka kinyan aguftami. Because all he has is a right to the fruits. That's not a right of the principle. So why do we have this argument twice? So Amalacha Rabbi Yochanan will tell you the following. Ba'alma, even afagav the ba'alma kinyan peros kinyan aguf tami. Even if normally a right to the fruits means an ownership and stake in the principal, hacha itzrich. I still need to tell you my halacha here. Sakadai tachamin. I would have thought that that's only true with strangers. But abulagabe brei. But when a father is selling to a son, then ichule achil, then the father fully forgives. And therefore, then we would say that the father's kinyan peiros is not a kinyan aguf. Kamashman, that even when a father sells to a son, if a father kept a kinyan peiros, he's really owning something. And therefore, the son doesn't have the ability to sell the guf. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Rav Shimon ben Lakish says, afagav d'baal makinyan peiros lafka kinyan aguf tami. Even though I'm telling you in Bikurim, a right to fruits is not an ownership stake in the land. Hachitzrich, I have to tell you my law here in regards to a father and a son. Sakadai d'chamin, I would have thought to say that when a person sells and he leaves for himself the principal, and he gives to his friend the rights of fruits, so then there's no kinyan haguf to that recipient. But kolagabe nafshe. But when it's, in our case, it's the father leaving for himself the rights of fruit. So when he's leaving for himself the rights of fruit, it's not that he's selling the rights of fruit. He's leaving for himself the rights of fruit. So then maybe afilu b'makom brei, even though it's with the son, nafshi adifale, he loves himself more, so certainly he left himself some principle. Kamashwan, that's the chiddush of Rish Lakish. No, he didn't leave himself any principle. The father only has kinyan peiros, it's not kinyan aguf, and therefore, according to Rish Lakish, the son could sell the principle.
So no one brings the Quran? No one's obligated?
Why the
because
owner?
The owner of the land doesn't have
the owner of the land.
Bring.
The owner of the land.
He doesn't have fruit to bring.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And the owner of the fruit doesn't have. Land.
Yeah, so that's right.
They could go without declaring.
The loophole. They could go
without. That's it. That's right. Ace Reb Yochanan Rish Lakish. Reb Yochanan challenge Rish Lakish. We learned in a brisa if a person says Nachasai Lacha, my possessions are yours. But acharech, after you die, Yirash Ploni, so-and-so is going to get them. V'acharev, and after two dies, Yirash Ploni, three gets them. Meis Rishon, if one dies, Kana Sheni, now two gets these possessions. Meis Sheni, when two dies, Kana Shlishi, three gets the possessions. Meis Sheni, B'chayi Rishon, but if two die during the lifetime of one, Yachzu Nechasim Liyarshe Rishon, then the possessions don't go to three, they go to the heirs of one. That's the Braisa. So says Rabbi Yochanan Vim Yisa, now if you're right that one who only has Kenyan Peiros doesn't really own it, so then Liyar Sheinose Miboile, it should go to the heirs of the giver, not to the heirs of one. Amar Leis, Rish Lakish answered, Kratigma of Hoshaya Bebavil, Rav Hoshaya answered, there it was different. Acharech Hoshani, when a person gives to a friend his assets, and he says, you'll get my assets, you inherit them, but after it goes to somebody else, that's not a kinyan peiros. That's not saying you only have rights to the fruit. You have the principal and the fruits during your lifetime. And after your lifetime, both the principal and the fruits go to somebody else. So therefore, that's more than just a kinyan peiros. V'chein Rami Rabba Bar Avuna Kameh de Rav. Rabba Bar Avuna also asked this question in front of Rav, and Amar, he said, Acharecha Shani, that when he says the assets go to you, and after your death, they go to somebody else. That's not just saying you have the rights of usage, and then no longer do you have the rights of usage. During your lifetime, you have the principal and the rights of usage. And after your lifetime, both the principal and the rights of usage go to someone else. Fred, you have a question?
Didn't you remember before that you can't control the future of your usage?
If it was to a son, right? We said if it was to one of the sons, if the first person was one of the sons, then since it's a Yerusha, Yerusha is La'olam. But maybe this is not to a son, it's to a stranger. To a stranger, it could be. He has it. It's a stranger. Yeah, he has it during his lifetime.
Does it automatically go to his son?
Exactly, but how can you write a principle? How can you write a principle and then it goes to
because it wasn't a Yerusha, it was a gift. That's what we said. That's the difference between a gift.
Initially,
initially a gift.
After
If the first one got a gift, then you can put limitations and conditions. In Yerusha, we say it continues la'olam. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash Yomei, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakosis Yisrael. Lefichach Yerbalahem Torah Mitzvot Shneamar Adonai Chafetz Leman Tzidko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.